May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord. Amen. As I was preparing the sermon for today, I came across a funny reference. It made me laugh quite hard, actually, and I will share it with you in just a moment, but before I do, let me just say this. The reference I came across was based on John Steinbeck's work, an American author born in 1902, and he often infused his works with references to biblical themes. Some of his most notable works include The Grapes of Wrath, a novel that won the Pulitzer Prize for fiction in 1940. The reference I spoke about is based on this very novel, specifically a passage that can be interpreted as an allusion to the parable of the sower. Now, I only mention this because the parable of the sower is highly relevant to understanding the true meaning of today's reading. So let me quickly summarize it here to jog our memory. In the parable of the sower, Jesus wanted to help his audience understand what the kingdom of heaven is like. So he told them a parable about a farmer who sowed seeds on different types of ground, resulting in varying levels of success depending on where the seeds fell. And you might recall that some of the seeds fell on rocky ground, but birds snatched away these seeds immediately. Some seeds fell among thorns, and the plants were choked out before they had fully grown. Other seeds fell on the path, and people trampled them down. Finally, some seeds fell on fertile soil, producing a very, very good harvest. Later, Jesus explained to his disciples that the seed stands for the word of God, and that the ground represents the heart. He made it clear to his friends that the parable illustrates the different receptions people have to the word of God, depending on their heart's own readiness and openness. Now, the reference I mentioned in the beginning fits right into the same idea. The idea that the conclusions a person makes after hearing Jesus' message often depend on the openness of their own heart. So the reference imagines the responses of hearts to the parable of the sower, and I'll read it quickly to you. As Jesus finished telling the parable, he looked into the hearts of the people to see their thoughts. First, Jesus saw a farmer. The farmer thought to himself, "With this parable, Jesus is telling me that I have to be more careful in the way I cast my seed. I guess I've been wasteful lately." Then Jesus looked to the politician. He thought to himself, "Jesus is telling me that I need to begin a farm education program. I'm sure this will help me to win my re-election campaign, by the way." Next, Jesus spotted a newspaper reporter in the crowd. The reporter thought, "Jesus is telling me that there is a big story here about the bird problem and how it affects the farming community." Finally, Jesus looked at the last person standing there. He was a salesman. The salesman thought to himself, "Jesus is encouraging me. He's encouraging me with this parable to be more effective in my fertilizer sales. I could help every farmer in this country if only they would use my product." As I was saying, this funny little story shows quite neatly how easy it is to completely miss the point when we don't approach Jesus' message with a ready and open heart. So let's try to do better and look at the reading today with an open heart. Jesus tells two parables. First, the parable of the growing seed, and secondly, the parable of the mustard seed. Both parables convey eternal truths about the kingdom of heaven. To unlock the real meaning of these two parables, however, we must stick with the symbolism used in the parable of the sower. So let's give it a try, shall we? The seed is the word of God, and the ground represents the condition of the heart of those who hear God's word. In the parable of the growing seed, the man scatters seed on the ground. As Christians living in the 21st century, we know that Jesus wants us to share in his work and ministry by precisely doing that, by scattering seed on the ground, or in other words, by sharing the good news about Christ with anyone who is willing to hear despite their condition of heart. Now, if we are honest, though, the part about sharing with anyone is quite challenging at times. It's one thing to share the good news of Christ's forgiveness and eternal life with those who belong to our innermost circle of friends and family. But what about the nosy neighbor, the rude stranger, or the quarrelsome co-worker? I am the first to admit that I wished that there were some exceptions that Jesus had made, at least for me, when dealing with certain people, but he did not. In fact, Jesus did set quite a striking example for us to follow. Because Jesus did not let himself be deterred by the different responses people had to his message, even though he was taken for granted very often. He was challenged, ridiculed, and accused unfairly. But Jesus always extended his loving grace and forgiveness. And by doing so, he encouraged even the most unlikely people to be transformed by his word and his example forever. Ultimately, we can't help but notice that the kingdom of heaven would not exist without transformation. In the parable of the mustard seed, Jesus speaks exactly about this kind of transformation when he compared the kingdom of heaven to the tiny, tiny, seemingly insignificant mustard seed. Even though its humble beginnings do not suggest this, the mustard seed grows into a large shrub. Its growth surpasses all expectations, even to the point where birds find shelter in its branches. Now, when we think about this, about the birds finding shelter in its branches, it's quite alarming, because in the parable of the sower, the birds represent Satan, who swiftly works against God's kingdom. So to hear that the kingdom of heaven will somehow tolerate those who work against the kingdom of heaven is more than upsetting. What are we to make out of this then? We do not have time to go into much detail about this today, but let me just say this. We live in a fallen world, and the collateral damage of this is that evil, deception, and sin find its way even into the church. However, we can also take Jesus' word that not everyone who calls him Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the ones who do the will of the Father in heaven. This means that we must diligently work with the Holy Spirit to get rid of all evil and sin from within the church, as well as within our own hearts, as much as we possibly can, while still remembering that we all are in desperate need of God's grace. It's impossible for man to lead a sinless life. The good news is that the Holy Spirit works behind the scenes with a supernatural power to conform us to the image of Christ and to lead us through unimaginable spiritual growth. We must trust this process, even though we do not completely understand it. To put it in Jesus' words, night and day, whether the man sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows. though the man does not know how. So by faithfully scattering his word, we trust God to soften the hearts of those we speak to. And we trust the Holy Spirit to change our own hearts. Sometimes we tend to make this very complicated. We feel that we cannot witness or tell anybody else about God because we do not have a degree, or we are not a priest, or I don't know. The excuses are endless. But the thing is that most people in the Bible who were able to convince others about God were telling them what God did for them in their own life. And there is nobody on earth who can tell others about what I went through and how God has helped me than me. And this is true for you too. Moreover, if we want to have a powerful witness, we need to proactively make sure that we have seeds to sow. There is no shortcut here. How can we ever sow good seeds if we don't actually know what God's word says? To know what the scripture says, we must spend time in God's word. We must read it, dwell on it, digest it, discuss it, and memorize it. And we absolutely must, through prayer and meditation, find the meaning scripture holds in our life and in the specific time and context we live in. Because only by experiencing its relevance in our own life are we able to share God's word and what he has done for us in a credible way. It is by doing this that we produce an abundance of rain in the form of transformed spirit within us and in the form of many people who come to know Christ through our faithful walk with God. So let us pray then that the Holy Spirit will give us the confidence, grace, and compassion to boldly proclaim Christ to the people God has placed in our lives. Amen.